Welcome and good morning. Let's go ahead and open our Bibles today to Romans 13. And so time is running out. And I guess the question that we should ask each other is, are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Think about it for a moment. If Jesus were to return right now, if he were to come back, would you be ready? Is there any unfinished business or situations, people that you need to visit with, talk to, make things right? Your own soul, is your soul prepared? Is your soul ready? If Jesus were to return, are you in a right spot? So verse 11 says, this is all the more urgent, as you know, for how late it really is. Time is running out. So this is urgent. This is a very important thing that we're going to look at this morning. And the result of that, or the response to that, should be what he says for us to do, and that is wake up. Wake up. Wake up. Wake up. Because our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is almost gone. The day of salvation will soon be here. So remove your dark deeds like dirty clothes and put on the shining armor of right living. Because we belong to the day, we must live decent lives for all to see. Don't participate in the darkness of wild parties and drunkenness, or in sexual promiscuity and immoral living, or in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, clothe yourself with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me say that again. Clothe yourself with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. If there's one thing we can do in 2025 to wake up, is to clothe ourselves with God's presence, to be near Jesus, to be close to him, to make him the most in our lives, and to grow in our walk with him, to grow in our relationship with him more and more as the days approach. And don't, it says at conclusion, and don't let yourself think about ways to indulge your evil desires. So Lord, speak to us today, I ask. Lord, this is so challenging to us, these words, these verses. And it reminds us that we used to be a certain way and we're different people now. We live different. We think different. Lord, let us be like that. Let us continue in that till the end. Speak to our lives and let us hear what you want us to hear, but also do what you want us to do. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. So this is the last Sunday of the year, and we're kind of like finishing up one thing and moving into the future. And I love the last Sunday of the year because it's almost like what Philippians says, that we can leave those things that are behind, we can leave the past, and we can look forward to what lies ahead. And so in looking forward to what lies ahead, what does that mean? What does that look like? I think he tells us here very, very clear what we're supposed to do and how we're supposed to respond to that, and that is this. The hour is late. It's time to wake up. We don't want to lose the opportunity that God has given us. And so it's something, I don't know, how many of you for Christmas or maybe whatever you bought for, were you pressured into buying something because this was the last day of the sale or it was going out of business, or do any of you, or you know, this internet special pops up and it's like, if you do this now, you'll get to save this much money, but you got to do this or you got to sign up for something or whatever. Are any of you manipulated by that or spurred on to a few of you? Yeah. Okay. Well, this message, I think, reminds us all the more that the days that we're living in are urgent. You guys, these are the last days that we're in. And so if all the more, he says, all the more urgent, the time is late, the time is running out. He says, number one is this, wake up. So look at the person next to you and jab them if you need to and tell them, say, wake up. Wake up. Now, yesterday, wake up. Yesterday, before service, Saturday night, the youth, you know, we were back in the back, you know, praying and getting ready. And we were just, they were going at it. They were talking and, you know, they were just having a lot of fun. And it got kind of loud. And I thought, do I need to kind of tell them to, you know, tone it down a little bit? And I was like, no, I'm going to let them have fun. You know, if people out here hear, so be it. This morning, first service, it wasn't like that. It wasn't like that. You know why? Because they weren't woke up yet. They were still tired. You know, they're still trying to get their bearings and, you know, get all that caffeine in them or whatever it takes for us to get going for the day. But as we end one thing and begin something new, let's approach 2025 with the urgency of knowing that time is running out and that we can wake up and be prepared for what God has for us. In several passages of Scripture, Matthew 25, there's a parable that's used about the virgins. There were half of them were ready, half of them weren't. And then in the next chapter, as Jesus is praying, going to the cross, he says this question to his disciples. He said, "Could you not even watch with me for 1 hour?" He said, later he says, you know, that we're tempted in many ways. And if we're not alert and we're not prepared and we're not watching, we can miss out on what God has for us. And so the number one thing that we need to do is to stay awake and to watch and be prepared. And so in those verses that we read from Romans, it contrasts a couple different things. It contrasts the old way of life, the old things, the old ways of thinking, the old ways of doing things, the old self, the old garments that we used to wear, that he tells us to take off, to change our clothes, and to put on the newness of Christ, to put on the newness of life. And that means the old man is dead and the new man emerges in Christ Jesus. And so what I want to tell you is this, that past you, that's not you anymore. You're a different person. You don't need to think the way you used to think. You don't need to do the things that you used to do because that's not you anymore. That's not your identity. That's not who God's called you to be. But as we approach the King and who he's called us to be, we live different. We act different. We even our accountants, our decisions that we make, the way we live our lives is different than the way we used to be. And so sometimes we find ourselves sleepy and not alert because maybe we're tired or weary. Maybe life has beaten us up a little bit. Maybe we've stayed up too late. You know, we got our days and nights turned around, and we're not prepared for what's ahead. We're sleepy in the day because we stayed up too late. You know, we were preoccupied with other things. Maybe it's medication. Maybe you're taking medicine that makes you tired, and you're not prepared. You're not alert. You're not sharp like you used to be. Or maybe it's just boredom. Maybe you've got kind of the mundane, you know, just the routine of being a believer is kind of settled in, and you're not as sharp and as alive and as watchful as you used to be. Maybe you suffer with depression, and the depression, that debilitating type mental ability that used to be excited, used to be really looking forward to what God had for you. Now you're depressed, and you can't wait for the day to end. You can't wait for something new to happen. Maybe it's a vitamin deficiency. Maybe you're low on a certain vitamin, and you need to give your body the minerals it needs to stay alert, to stay alive. Maybe it's darkness, and you're tired because the days have gotten, you know, shorter, and the night has gotten longer. All of those things we can look at in the physical realm to show us that those things can make us sleepy. How much more so in the spirit realm, that the devil wants to just kind of lull us to sleep and cause us to not be prepared for what is in front of us and for what God has for us in 2025. So the first one, wake up. Number two is this, never give up. Never give up. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 says this in verse 1, "Therefore, since God in his mercy has given us this new way of living, this new way of life, the old man gone, the new man emerging, we never give up." Look at the person next to you and tell them, say, "We never give up." Tell them, say, "I am not going to give up. I am not going to quit." Okay? "I am not going to quit. I'm not going to give up." And many times it's this inner weariness that causes us to be wore out and exhausted and discouraged, and we lose motivation and we lose heart, and then we just think about giving up. And the reason that we don't give up is what he tells us in verse 15 of the same chapter. He says, "This is for all of your benefit, and by God's grace, that more and more people will receive God's grace with great thanksgiving, and God will receive more and more glory." So more and more people brought into the kingdom brings God more and more glory. And so the reason that we don't quit and the reason we don't give up is because, listen, our lives, someone's life might depend on your life. of you not giving up. If you were to give up, think about all the missed opportunities, all the missed people that you're not going to be able to visit with or share with or partner with in their faith. If you give up, it may be detrimental to somebody else's growth and development and their maturity as a believer. So it's not just about you, it's about other people that God's going to put in your path. And if you're alert and you're watching and you're ready, you're going to be open to whoever it is that God sends your way. Think about how many of you that are here, your faith hinged on somebody else. Somebody telling you, somebody investing in you, somebody discipling you, somebody caring enough to share with you and to come alongside you and help you in your journey with Christ. In the same way God's called you to do that, and if you give up, you're going to miss opportunities that the Lord sends your way. He also says in verse 16, that's why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. And so your troubles in this life, your pains, your aches, your discomfort, the things that inconvenience us, those things won't last forever. They're only here for a moment. And we should see the bigger picture. And that is this. We don't look at all the troubles that we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on the things that we cannot see. For the things that we see now will soon be gone. But the things we cannot see will last forever. I want to tell you something. The world that you can't see is more real than the world that you can see. And that's something I can't really understand completely or fully really grab a hold of, but the reality is that that's true. That the world outside of the world that we see is much more real and much more vital than the world that we do see. And that doesn't mean that we resign and give up this life and this world, but they hinge on one another. Heaven and earth are dependent upon one another in a lot of different ways. Whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And so these two realms are connected together. And what happens here, and especially what happens there, determines what goes on in our lives. So we want to be prepared for that. What are some reasons that people give up? I think one reason is that a lot of people have unrealistic or unmet expectations. They thought life would be a certain way, and when it didn't work out that way, they want to give up or they want to quit. Maybe they have been hurt in life. They've been disappointed. They have been wounded in some way. And that wound has really caused there to be discouragement that set in that said, you know what, why am I even bothering with this? Why am I even struggling to keep moving ahead? Why should I do that? Maybe it's unforgiveness. Unforgiveness, the enemy can use unforgiveness to cause me and you to want to give up and want to quit. Bitterness, resentment, those things that really want to sink in and get a hold of us. And we see things through the cloud and the filter of unforgiveness and bitterness. Listen, don't let your life become that way. Don't go down that road. Always be quick to forgive. Always be quick to not take offense. Always be quick to let go of things and don't harbor things in your life. Listen, the devil wants to do that so you'll quit, so you'll give up. It could be a distraction. It might be the distraction of your career or wealth or your family, and it's just a distraction. It might not be anything necessarily overtly bad or evil, but it's a distraction, and it gets us off of staying alert and staying watchful. Maybe it's sickness. Maybe you don't feel good. And it's just this chronic illness that is always there, that always seems to linger, that's got a hold of you, and it's caused you to be discouraged, and it's distracting nonetheless. Maybe it's attack of the enemy. Maybe it's hellish in nature. Maybe it doesn't have anything to do with anything else except hell, that hell wants you to quit. Hell wants you to get discouraged. Hell wants you to give up and not be a faithful servant of the Lord. Maybe it's the cares and the worries and the burdens of this life, like Matthew 13 says. Maybe it's just life in general. Maybe it's just the weight of life. All the things that have happened and transpired in your life have just come down for this moment, and it seems to want to hang on and hold on. Maybe it's your past, your former life, and there's been some sort of romantic attachment to the way your life used to be. And you look back over your former life with fondness, instead of with disgust. There are a lot of people like that as believers. And they think about all the things they missed out on, especially if they grow up in the church. They think about all the things they missed out on in a former life. But I want to tell you something, that's a lie from the devil, because there's no good days that hell has for you and I concerning that lifestyle. And Christine Kane says this about Lot's wife. You know, she did have a name, by the way. But she's not even named in the Bible. She's called Lot's wife. And you know what it says about Lot's wife? It's the only New Testament time where Jesus refers to a female from the Old Testament, Lot's wife. He uses her as an example. And he says, remember Lot's wife, is what he said. And Christine Kane goes on to say this about it. She says that when Lot's wife looked back and turned into a pillar of salt, it wasn't that she looked back. That wasn't what got her in trouble. It was that she looked back with longing of all the things that she was going to miss out on. And many of us do that from time to time. We look back with this fondness. We look back with this, you know, this romantic view of what life could have been or what life should have been or the way things used to be. Listen, it wasn't that great. So don't let the devil try to tell you that, oh, yeah, you know, you're missing out on something or it was all. Listen, there's nothing good for you back there. And you're not missing out on anything. Trust me on that. So don't take the bait in thinking in that sense, because when she turned around, she missed out on all that God had for her. And many people, and Jesus uses this in Luke 17, he says that the days when the return of the Son of Man it'll be like the days of Noah. And the days of Noah where people were marrying and getting married, you know, they were just going about daily life like usual, and they never took advantage of being alert and being watchful. They never took advantage of not giving up. And so think about this for a moment. The days of Noah, so will it be in the days of Noah when the Son of Man returns. What were the days of Noah like? Think about this for a minute. No, it took Noah upwards roughly about 100 years to build the boat. Every single day, people walk by that boat. Every single day. And I would imagine, we don't know this for sure, but maybe they said, hey, Noah, what are you doing? And Noah's saying, judgment's coming, y'all. Judgment's coming. You better get ready. You better be ready. Every day they walked by that boat. Every day that boat was a reminder of God's judgment that was coming. And every day they turned their eyes away from it and they decided to do what they wanted to do. Every single day for 100 years. And you know why they did it? They did it for the same reason we do it today. They don't think it's bad enough yet for Jesus to return. They don't think it's bad enough. They don't think that the world is bad enough for God's judgment to happen. But let me ask you a question. How bad does it have to be before he's going to return? You see, it might be bad and you just don't know it. You might have been desensitized to how bad it is, just like they were. They were desensitized to how bad it was. That's why they didn't believe. That's why they didn't take the whole thing serious. Every day it was a reminder. That boat was a reminder of what was coming. That there's safety for sure, there's salvation for sure, but there's also judgment for sure as well. And they didn't take it serious, just like we don't take it serious. Many of us are like, well, he's not going to return yet because of all the things. I mean, I've even said that myself. I've even said it like, well, it's not bad enough. Listen, maybe it's bad enough, maybe I just don't know it. Maybe I have been lulled to sleep. Maybe I have been desensitized to the wickedness that's around me. How wicked does it have to be before he returns? I don't know, but I don't want to take that chance. And you shouldn't either. So what does that mean? It means we better wake up. We better be ready, and we better not give up. Galatians 6 says this, those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that spiritual, from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest life from everlasting life from the Spirit. Now look at this, verse 9. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. What does that mean? It means don't get tired. Don't give up. Don't quit. Keep going, because at just the right time, just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing. If, here it is, it's conditional, if we don't give up. So what are we supposed to do? Not just wake up, we're supposed to not give up. If you don't give up, you're going to reap a harvest of blessing that you never could have received any other way. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 13, and for the rest of you, dear brothers and sisters, never get tired of doing good. Number three is this. So if we're supposed to wake up, we're not never supposed to give up. Number three is this. We're supposed to endure and put up. Endure, which means put up. I thought about this recently. Enduring wouldn't be so hard if it didn't have to do with people. If we could take people out of the equation. Remember, Pastor Glenn, when you told me, somebody told you this, it should be in the Bible, but the ministry wouldn't be bad at all if you didn't have to deal with people. Like, this would be a great job, a great career, great calling, if we didn't have to deal with people. And you're the same way. Your job is the same way. Your career, whatever it is you do, your families. And wouldn't this be true? Christmas and these holidays have brought all that out, hadn't it? Like, the people that you don't see very often, and there's a reason for that. Yeah? And but it wouldn't be bad. Enduring. If you took the human element out of enduring, it would be a lot easier, but nonetheless, it's difficult because God loves people. And we don't like to hear that sometimes, because sometimes they're unlovable until we start thinking about ourselves and how unlovable we were. And it's easy to say that God loves me because my stuff's not that bad. But when you start comparing it to other people, you think, well, you know, what about them? 2 Timothy 2 verse 1 says this, Timothy, my dear son, be strong in the grace that God gives you in Christ. So there it is. It takes the grace of God to be strong. Verse 3, enduring suffering along with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Verse 10, so I am willing to endure anything. See the commonality here? The word endure. Verse 12, if we endure hardship, we will reign with him. There's another conditional promise. How many of you want to reign with Jesus? How many of you want to be a part of Jesus' kingdom in the future? You want to reign with him. How does that happen? When you and I endure hardship, and we do it out of affiliation. We do it because relationally, if he's going to endure things, then we're going to have to endure things as well. So verse 15 says, work hard so you can present yourself to God and receive his approval. Be a good worker, one who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly explains the word of truth. So two things there in verse 15. Number one is this, work hard, which means make every effort or to be diligent with zeal. So there's some excitement that's involved in there. Don't just do it because you got to do it. Come on, put some oomph behind it. Put some excitement behind it. And then finally, present yourself to God. What does that mean? It means to place beside or near. So what does that mean? You and I can endure if we know Jesus is right beside us. When we present ourselves and we position ourselves next to him, there's nothing that's a struggle or that you can't go through in this life if you know he's right here with you. Now think about it. All the stuff that he went through in this life, the crucifixion, the heartache, the discouragement, all of his friends left him and denied him, all that happened, and yet he was victorious. He went through the cross and was risen from the dead and ascended into heaven. His victory was sure and true and lasting and complete. If he's next to us, how much more so can we make it with the encouragement that we have with him right there when we present ourselves right next to him and we're as close as we can to be with him? It's a lot harder to give up, isn't it? It's a lot harder to not go through. Listen, when we decide that we're going to be next to Jesus, then we can go through anything. If he's with you right there, there's nothing that you can't go through. You'll be fine. What causes us to want to, I guess, quit or give up? There's a lot of factors with that. I think it goes back to what we mentioned earlier, but we do have three examples. Number one is soldiers. It says, be like a soldiers are able to endure. They go through hardship and they can endure. Number two are athletes. Athletes, they discipline themselves. to train every day when they don't feel like it. A lot of times on my feed, I'll get these athletes that come up and I'll read about them. And it's amazing the things that some of these men and women do to be champions. I mean, the discipline. I mean, every single day for hours upon hours and, you know, very strict regiment routine and all those things. And then finally, farmers. Farmers are patient, and it takes faith to be a farmer. So those three things. We talk about enduring, being able to suffer hardship, but also being disciplined in the things that are important. And then finally, to be people of faith, be people of patience who know that there's a reward on the other side. Matthew 24:12 says this, sin will be rampant everywhere and the love of many will grow cold, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. What does that mean? It means those who are under pressure learn to persevere. Those who under pressure, the pressure of life, the pressure of all, anything that the enemy can think of to throw at you, all those pressures of life that you endure to the end, that you stay strong, that you stay faithful, that you stay committed, that you stay disciplined, all those things, you stay faithful in your calling toward God, he'll cause you to go through. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8 says, so never be ashamed to tell others about the Lord. Don't be ashamed of me either, even though I'm in prison for him. With the strength God gives you, be ready to suffer with me for the sake of the good news. You see, there's a level of suffering that we go through in life because of our affiliation with Jesus. And a lot of people don't like to talk about that. They say, well, when you get saved, everything's going to be perfect. Everything's going to go well. No, your life is probably going to be turned upside down. It's almost like this false advertising that we've given to people, like, yeah, come to, yes, absolutely, there's life. Absolutely, there's newness. Absolutely, there's heaven. Yes, 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 and amen, yes. But you're going to go through some stuff because of your affiliation with the King. And because the King suffered, you're going to suffer right along with him with some things as well. So don't make a mistake and don't let that get you freaked out when it happens. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 says, dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you're going through, as if something strange is happening to you. A lot of people think it's strange. Like, why is all this stuff happening to me? Why is, everything going wrong? Maybe it's because you're doing something right for a change. Do you ever think about that? If you're not a threat to the kingdom of darkness, then he's not going to mess with you. But if you're threatening his kingdom, he's going to do everything he can to discourage you and to get you to quit. And it caused you not to be blessed and prosper. He says, instead, be very glad. It's hard to be glad when you're going through fiery trials, isn't it? These trials make you partners with Christ in his suffering, so that you will have the wonderful joy of seeing his glory when it is revealed to all the world. So, number one, wake up. Number two, never give up. Number three, endure or put up. And number four, I'm going to go through these next two really quick. Number four is this, stand up and look up. Now, that is a verse that comes from Luke chapter 21, and Jesus is outlining the circumstances that are going to surround his returning, what it's going to be like in the world. There's all going to be all this kind of chaos and all this kind of weird stuff that's going to be happening. And Jesus says this, verse 27, Then everyone will see the Son of Man coming on a cloud with power and great glory. So when all these things begin to happen, stand and look up, for your salvation is near. Stand and look up, for your salvation is near. The King James Version says this, stand up, look up, because your redemption draws nigh. It's kind of like something you'd hear a Pentecostal preacher say. Your redemption draws nigh. You got to say it like that. Put some southern boost behind it, you know? Anyway, the point is this. How do you posture yourself when the end has come? How do you posture yourself? Number one is this. You posture yourself physically. You guys, quit looking at all the stuff down here. Quit looking at circumstances. I loved it what the girl said. Quit overthinking stuff, what Catherine said. How many overthinkers do we have in here? Quit overthinking stuff. It's very simple. This thing is simple. Quit overcomplicating it. It's very doable. It's very simple. Number one, keep your eyes where they need to be. Don't be looking around at stuff. Don't be looking at people. Don't be looking at failure. Don't be looking at circumstances. Don't be looking at situations. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Hebrews chapter 12 tells us that. It says he's the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Keep your eyes on him. We do that. We do it. We run with endurance by keeping our eyes on him. So it's an outward posture, but it's also an inward attitude. It's an inward attitude. I really believe there are some times where you and I have to really change what we're looking at, like physically. Like make yourself look to heaven, whether it be during praise and worship, in your prayer time, whenever it is. Change what you're looking at. Keep your eye fixed and focused on heaven and on Jesus. And then the other thing is this, where's your heart, the attitude, the inward attitude of keeping our eyes on him? And then finally, number five, taken up or caught up. And this is the best one because he says this, we tell you directly from the Lord. So this didn't come through some, you know, other source or from whatever. He says, we tell you this directly from the Lord. So here's what the Lord says. This comes directly from God. You ready? This is it. We who are still living when the Lord returns will not meet him ahead of those who have died. For the Lord himself, he's not going to send his assistant. He's not going to send one of the disciples. He's not going to send one of the angels. It's going to be him, himself. He's going to come and he's coming after you. He wants you to come with him. And he's not going to be distracted by what else is going on. And he wants us to stay focused on him as well. But know this, the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet call of God. First, the believers who have died will rise from their graves. Then, together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will be with the Lord forever. That's the good news. We will be with the Lord forever. We will be with the Lord forever. You know, the older I get, I think about that more. Maybe it's because I'm on the other side, you know, maybe. When I was a young man, I was too busy trying to build a church and do all the stuff that pastors do. But you know, the older I get, I realize how close this really is and what this means. And so he says this, verse 18. So encourage each other with these words. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to practice a little bit. I want you to turn to the person next to you or behind you or whatever and say, you're going to be caught up with the Lord. Encourage one another with these words. Encourage. You can do it at home too. Encourage each other with these words. You know what it means to be caught up? It means to be snatched out of, to be pulled out of, to be seized or sudden or decisive measures. Like someone taking something by force, like quickly and decisively. That's what it's going to be like when we're pulled up out of this thing. And so that's the good news. So as we bring this to a close today, how many of you would say, you know, Pastor, I need to wake up? How many of you need to wake up? How many of you need to never, you've thought about giving up. You've thought a little bit about giving up. Anybody thought about that a little bit? How many of you need to endure some things? Probably mostly with people, right? Yeah. How many of you need to change your posture, the attitude of your heart? Keep your eyes where they need to be. Keep your eyes on Jesus. How many of you need to do that? And then finally, how many of you know that there's going to come a day that you're going to be caught up and that you're going to be taken up and that this is not your home? Amen? Amen. Amen. All right, Boone, you want to say something? Come on up here. No, you come up here. You got to speak into the microphone. Come on up here. I'm going to hold it so you don't go too long.
Okay. No, I'm not going to go too long. I promised you yesterday. 5 years ago, I died and I went to heaven. And I was told to come back and tell everybody that heaven is for real and it's waiting for all of you. And you see me a lot here because of you. He does have a connection. And I go to all these churches in Nebraska, Kansas, but I always end up back here because you do speak the word.
Thank you. Amen. So you've seen it.
I've been
there.
You've
seen it.
I tell you what, heaven
is real,
unbelievable. Isn't it? You'll hear people say, "You can." There's not earthly words to explain it. And there's not. I can't explain it. But it's tranquility, it's peace, and most of all, it's brotherly love.
Yeah.
It's brotherly love.
Praise God.
It's unbelievable.
Amen. So if you want to know, yeah. Boone's going to be around, and he'll answer any questions that you have about the other side. Let's stand together today. So are you ready? So don't give up. Don't quit. Keep going. You're almost there. Could be sooner than you think. It's closer than you know, and it's sooner than you think. Father, God, let us be prepared. Let us be ready. As we meet you, Lord, we want to hear those words. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the rest that I've prepared for you. That's what we want to hear, Lord. We want to hear those words. And so let us not quit. Let us not give up in that process. And we thank you for that. You know, as your heads are bowed today, maybe there's somebody here that's never given Jesus your life. You've never been born again, and you've never repented of your sins. And the Lord's calling you today. Like you guys, I can't do any more than I've done today. Like, that's it. And so now it's up to you. It's up to you to respond. Is there anybody who would like to pray with me to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior? You guys, time is running out. You don't want to play games with this. You really don't. Life is short. The time here is very, very short. Would anybody like to pray with me about that today? Okay. All right. Well, has it been good to be in the house of the Lord today? Yeah. So, we got some good things for you. If you're a guest of those that were baptized, you're a family member or a special guest, we have a reception that's for those that were baptized today. So, that's a good thing as well. If you need special prayer, there'll be somebody over here at the cross as well. So, Lord bless you as you go, fill you with his goodness, and prepare you for his return in Jesus' name.